Welcome to the Somerset Emotional Wellbeing Podcast. My name is Dr. Andrew Treseur from NHS Somerset, and I'm really pleased to be presenting today with my colleague and friend.
Yeah, hi everyone. I'm Dr. Sarah Coop. I'm a GP by background and a medical educator, and it's really good to be here on the podcast today. And I'm so delighted that we're joined by Amy Hardwick. Amy, do you want to introduce yourself and tell people a little bit about your role and what you do?
Hi, everyone. I am the Health Promotion Manager for Mental Health and Wellbeing in Public Health at Somerset County Council. So my remit is all to do with promoting mental health and wellbeing. That involves sort of creating communications and sharing that with partners to get out into the public of, you know, how to look after your wellbeing, things to look out for when perhaps your mental wellbeing isn't very good and you need to get some extra support, and raising awareness of those ways to get support. And then we work a lot with the voluntary sector. I've been working in this role since February. So it still feels very new. Obviously, mental health is a very broad kind of remit, which reaches kind of all aspects of everyone's lives, I think. Yeah, I've always had an interest in mental health. I've had my own struggles with my mental health, like lots of people have. And I think that's why I have a real kind of passion for it. And I really want to help others and really make a difference. So that's kind of why I wanted to work in this role.
Wonderful. So it's great to have you on the podcast today. And it sounds, from what you've just said, there's so many different things that we could talk about around mental health and wellbeing, things that would resonate for so many of us. What we wanted to focus on today is something called the Orange Button Scheme. Now, I have no idea what that is, so do tell us, what is it?
So the Orange Button Scheme is a new community scheme. It's all to do with suicide awareness. So it's a little bit like, the dementia-friendly scheme where people who receive training, they training in dementia, and they wear a badge to show that they've had training and they can support people. So it's similar. It's a similar kind of scheme to that, in that anybody who has received quality assured mental health or suicide prevention training can apply to join the Orange Button Scheme. So once you've completed the training, you send in an application, and then you'll get sent an orange button pin badge that you can wear on like your lanyard or clothing. And it basically signifies that you've had training, you can listen non-judgmentally to somebody, and you know where to signpost people to support should they need it. So it's a way of raising awareness in the community of suicide, and sort of trying to tackle the stigma around suicide. And it's been launched in recognition of the fact that, you know, only a minority of people who take their own lives are known to mental health services. So we need to kind of raise awareness in communities and the wider public, and make people feel more comfortable to talk about suicide.
Thank you very much indeed. And when was the scheme launched? We'll come back to the really important topic in a moment. But when was the scheme launched? How long has it been going? What's been the take up?
So we launched it officially on the 8th of October. We were originally supposed to launch it on the 10th of September, which is World Suicide Prevention Day, as part of our Walk for a Life event, which we did in Taunton. But we had to move the date of that, so it was in the end launched on the 8th of October, and we've had a really, really good uptake of it so far. We've got nearly 500 people signed up. So before we launched it publicly, we tried to sort of recruit some Orange Button holders who we knew had already completed the training. So we contacted them to let them know that this scheme was going to be starting up, and is it something that they would be interested in. So we had probably a couple of hundred before we launched it publicly, and then since then it's really grown quite quickly and has been received really well.
That's great to hear, because I know that Somerset County Council, over the last 10 years that I've known about, and probably longer, has been investing in suicide awareness in the county, in the ASSIST program and others that you'll know about that I don't know about. And I think there's online training that's maybe accredited as well these days. And so that this is sort of formalizing it and making it more visible in the community.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because you wouldn't know, walking around I don't know, on the high street, if anyone had received training or know, you know, if you saw someone in distress, you know, you wouldn't necessarily go up to them. But if you had, you know, done your training and you had your orange button, you might have a little bit more confidence to do that. Or people might feel more confident approaching you to ask you for help, you know, whether that's for themselves or asking for advice about supporting somebody else. So yeah, it's really good. And you mentioned actually about the training. So we do have, at the moment, there's sort of three training programs that are linked to the Orange Button. So there's the 2-day adult mental health course, mental health first aid course, and then the assist training, which you mentioned. And then we've also launched an online, much shorter, it's a 1/2-day course, which is 3.5 hours, with an organisation called Every Life Matters. And they run a suicide alertness online course, which is the one that we're really kind of promoting to the wider public, because it's much more accessible for people to dedicate 3.5 hours to training rather than 2 days. But it sort of packs a lot of information into that short time to give people the skills that they would need.
Yeah, that sounds amazing, Amy. Just tell us a little bit more about the training. If people were interested and wanted to access that, are they free? Are they virtual? Are they online? In person, sorry. Just tell us a little bit more about that and how people might be able to find out some information about it if they're interested.
Yeah, so the Every Life Matters course is the online one, suicide alertness course, which is online, 3.5 hours. It is free for anybody to do that one, anybody in the public. Public health do also offer free mental health first aid and assist training to frontline staff or people in pastoral roles. And that's provided through Mind in Somerset. They deliver that training for us. And you can find out about the training that's available on the Mind website, Mind in Somerset website.
Thank you. And is that where people would find out about the Every Life Matters website that's open to anybody in Somerset training as well?
So I would direct everybody to the Mind in Somerset website because they also have an Orange Button page, which has got the Every Life Matters training linked on it as well, because that's provided by a different organisation and it's done online. So you don't buy a ticket, but you can sign up to a training session on Eventbrite. So there's a link to that there.
Just curious to know, because I think talking about suicide and speaking with someone who maybe is feeling suicidal can be quite a daunting prospect for pretty much all of us. Even those of us who are trained as clinicians, it's really not an easy conversation to have. I guess I'm curious to know what sort of feedback you've had from the training. What have people said that it's given them or they feel that they benefited as a result of undertaking the training?
Yeah, I think that is a really common thing. I think suicide, for a lot of people, it does kind of invoke a bit of a fear that if you say the word suicide, that you're going to make somebody think that, you know, make somebody go and take their own life, that just by mentioning it, you're actually going to make somebody think that they would want to do it. And that's what, you know, this Orange Button scheme is really important. It's kind of highlighting that that's not going to happen. The best thing that you can do if you're speaking to somebody and they are thinking about suicide is to ask them, you know, upfront, very directly, are you thinking about suicide? And that invites them to then tell you how they're feeling. Whereas if you kind of like, you tread around it and you don't ask directly, somebody's not sure whether you're actually ready to hear the answer. So it's really, it's really important. And I think that's what the training does. It gives you that confidence to ask the question directly and know that it's not going to make somebody want to contemplate suicide if they're not. What's the worst thing? They say, no, I'm not. and then, you know, you carry on the conversation. But the training gives you the skills then if somebody says that they are, to know, you know, what to do and where you can get help for them should they need it.
You're absolutely right about the fact that there are some myths around people find themselves in suicidal crisis, and many of us may have found ourselves at points in our lives where we felt life wasn't worth living, or it's a really tough day and I just don't want to be here. And sometimes those thoughts have got more pervasive. But there are a number of myths in suicide awareness training, which is so important. And the first myth is that talking about it will actually put it into somebody's mind. And the answer, as you say, is completely the opposite. People are very relieved to be able to talk about their feelings of distress. Another myth is that anybody who tries to kill themselves must be crazy. Well, that's absolutely nonsense. We can all be in suicide. Any of us can be in suicidal crisis. If we've decided to do something, nothing can stop us. Well, that's absolutely untrue as well. And I'll tell you a little story in a moment, if I may. And people are unwilling to seek help. Again, false. So Alice Cole King, who's does an awful lot of work as a liaison psychiatrist in North Wales and set up Connecting for Health, has done a lot of awareness and prevention, and some of her work is being rolled out in Somerset in Somerset Partnership now. She tells the story of Kevin Hines, and I'm using names because they are findable on the internet, and this is a very well-known story, and Kevin has given full permission for his story to be shared, because he dedicates his life now to actually raising awareness for people who may be feeling suicidal. Kevin was suffering with issues, and he tragically, as he left the Golden Gate Bridge, realized that he'd made a big mistake. And luckily, his life was saved. He did break a number of bones, but his life was saved. And he realized he'd made a big mistake. And he had sworn to himself as he got on the bus on that day on the way to the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco that if anybody talked to him and asked him how he was, he wasn't going to commit a tragic act that day, to do anything tragic. And on the bus, he was visibly distressed, and nobody talked to him. And he got off the bus, and nobody talked to him. And he walked out onto the Golden Gate Bridge, and nobody talked to him. And eventually, somebody came by, a tourist came by, and he sort of felt relief, but they asked him to take a photograph of them. And so a sequence of events followed, and he realized he'd made a big mistake. And I suppose the key thing that he would like to be known from his story is that we can all be in suicidal crisis. And as long as we can be helped to come out of that crisis may not last very long. It may last seconds, minutes, maybe perhaps hours. But if there is support around, then we can move forwards with a very different outcome from the outcome that we might have thought about and fantasized about in a state which really is a distress state, which is, I have to say, probably not our real state of mind for 99% of the day, the month, the week. And it's, I'm sure Kevin would say, it was tragic that the sort of the tail wagged the dog, the tail of the tiny fleeting amount of time in which he was distressed like that actually drove him to a course of action, which fantastically his life was saved, and he now dedicates himself, as we were saying, to suicide prevention. So anybody, should you find anybody who is in distress, human contact is so valuable. And when I talk about suicide awareness and training to groups of professionals, one of the things I say to them is, there are 30 of you in this room. Over your careers, you will have saved hundreds of lives just by a kind word, by a human contact, by arranging follow-up, by whatever it is, with no huge, clever medical intervention. And you will never know that you have done that. Anyway, so just some thoughts about how vitally important this scheme is. Sarah.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. Amy, I'm just interested to know from your perspective and your work in the job that you have right now as well, and hearing what Andrew's just talked through, are there any other myths around suicide that you think would be really helpful just to sort of put out there and to debunk, if that makes sense? Anything else that you think is useful for the general public to perhaps be aware of?
I think there's a bit of a myth that suicide is something that only happens to certain types of people. And again, I think that links to what Andrew said about suicide being linked to mental health illness. And it's not necessarily, people can contemplate suicide, whether they've had a mental illness or not. Sorry, can you hear my dog barking?
No. And if he or she does, it means they are very sympathetic to what you're saying. And they're
okay. I just get very conscious that he's barking at the window.
Not at all.
So I think that is another myth that it only happens to certain types of people or people who have mental illness, but it's suicide is often linked to a series of events, complex events that kind of all pile up on somebody, and they can't see another way out. And again, a bit like what you were saying earlier, Andrew, I think, what Kevin Hines says, very few people want to die. They want the situation that they're in. They want a way out of that, and they see that death is the only answer to that. So what, we're really trying to do is say, promote there are other options and what those options are.
Absolutely. And just to pick up on that, in our state of distress, we might see that death is a solution, but death is a tragically final solution to what may actually be a very temporary problem. And just thinking about, if I'm an orange badge wearer and I do help somebody, obviously that may have an effect on me if I've had quite a conversation with them. Is there any peer support for orange badge holders to help each other or to debrief after a difficult conversation? Is there any mechanism there?
Yeah, so that's definitely something that we want to develop. So the scheme was actually originally launched in Lancashire and South Cumbria. They launched it in 2020. And I'm sort of having meetings with them, and they're thinking about setting up a peer support network, because it is a very heavy topic, and you have to think about self-care and looking after yourself if you're having those conversations, and being able to debrief is really, really important after a conversation like that. So it is something we're looking to develop. We don't have it established yet, but we will be.
Thank you. That's so important. And, if I'm in the streets of one of Somerset's towns or villages and see someone with an orange badge, that's great. But there is a number which perhaps should be engraved on everybody's heart, or at least on their mobile phone, to phone in desperation, which is 116 123, which is the Samaritans number. And the Samaritans do such great work in helping people through crisis as well.
Yeah, so true. Another question just to follow on from peer support, I think for people who are both trained in the Orange Button scheme, is also thinking about the fact that a lot of people who are maybe struggling with suicidal thoughts or feeling lonely or isolated might go online for help. So yes, the Samaritans numbers you've said is certainly one to keep in mind. What about an online equivalent of the Orange Button scheme? Is there anything like that that's being rolled out? Maybe we're thinking two steps ahead, but just wondered.
Yeah, no, I think that could be quite useful. Do you mean like a chat or that kind of thing?
I was just thinking like
Samaritans, but online.
Yeah, almost like a kite mark to sort of say this company is Orange Button trained, so that so it could be part of the chat function, couldn't it? When people are interacting with that company or organisation.
So you mean something on like websites that people can display, businesses and things? Yeah, definitely. We've developed like email signatures that people, so when you're at work, you can add an email signature to say that you've had the training and you're an Orange Button holder. And the packs also include an Orange Button window sticker. So if you are a business and you've got somebody in your company who's had the training and you want to display the Orange Button window sticker, then you can do that as well. So that's a way for businesses to identify themselves too.
Sounds sounds so helpful. So for people who haven't been on the training yet but are just interested in this and just want to make sure that if a conversation or a difficult sort of situation happens and they wanted to really try and answer and handle that situation the best way, how would you summarize? I obviously want people to go on the training, but how might you summarize the sort of the gist of the training and the objectives? Really, what I've taken so far is about creating that safe space, that non-judgmental space, and that's really, really important. So safety, non-judgmental, what are the other sort of key components of a conversation with somebody who's feeling suicidal, would you say?
So I think the next thing that they go into in the training is safety planning. So that's all about working with somebody to create a plan to keep them safe in the moment that they're having those thoughts. And, you know, it has people that you would contact, things that make you feel good or have made you feel good in the past, and you write, it's a written document that you can create with somebody, and there's lots of safety plans available online that give prompts. So if somebody finds it difficult to think of anything, you know, you could, they've got drop down boxes and it comes up with suggestions and you can sort of talk through them. But that's the other thing that is done in the training. And then the other thing which is really important, you know, and it's also highlighted in the orange button scheme if you're part of that, is that self-care is really important. And you know, with the orange button scheme, it's completely voluntary. You might choose to wear it one day or you know, and then not wear it the other day, depending on how you and yourself are feeling. You know, are you feeling emotionally well enough yourself to wear the orange button? Do you have time to support somebody should they want to chat to you? Not, you know, every day you might not be in that situation. So I think it's really important to highlight that it is something that's completely voluntary, and from a day to day, you know, it can change whether you wear it or not.
I think that's so helpful, isn't it? And that's such a good point, that those of us who would naturally perhaps want to be there for people, sometimes we may not have the space, the resources, the capacity, our own well-being isn't perhaps at the point where we feel we're able to be that person. And I think it's so helpful to do that again in a non-judgmental way for ourselves, to recognize that there are times when we're not able to fulfill that need. And I think that's a really key point, isn't it, about recognizing when you've almost put the badge on and when you don't, and having that self-awareness to know when you have those resources to be able to do that. Yeah, thank you. Andrew, what do you think?
Completely agree with that. It's so important to look after ourselves as well. But you know, just coming back to that point, human beings, we are social creatures. We connect with others. And that is what keeps us going so much. And so for those who are lonely or isolated, it's just so important to be able to reach out and for everybody to reach to others. We do in Somerset have the 24-hour mind line as well for anybody, isolated or not, any time of day, and I think night, any day of the week. And that's 01823 276892, which I was rummaging my memory files for just now, but David has very kindly put it in the chat, and I didn't realize there was a free phone number which I haven't memorized, which is 0800 138 1692. And you could also email support@openmentalhealth.org.uk for support. So it's just so important for all of us to know about ways in which we can reach out. But can I just go back to safety planning at the moment? Safety planning is something that's so important in these scenarios, but you know, it's really important for all of us. So Sarah, do you drive a car?
I certainly do, yeah.
10,000 miles a year?
Not quite as many as the last couple of years, but
generally on that. And Amy, do you drive a car?
I do, yes.
You know, maybe 5,000-10,000 miles a year, perhaps, pandemic excluding.
Yeah, not as much as I used to, that's for sure.
And I drive a car, but let's say in the last 5 years we've driven 100,000 miles between us. And you don't have to answer this question, but I'm going to guess that we're all very sensible and we adhere to the highway code because we wear safety belts. Can I just sort of guess that? I see nods and smiles. Absolutely. So can I just ask a slightly personal question? How many minutes or seconds have you needed your safety belt in the last 3 years? By which I mean, how many accidents have you had when it was activated and needed? or how many seconds in aggregate would you like to say in the last 3 years you've actually needed your safety belt in anger?
I have no idea. Probably not that many.
Well, sorry. So have you had an accident where you've slammed into the safety belt? No, not at all. Absolutely.
No, I haven't.
No, I haven't. The only thing is I'm going as a passenger with my older teenager who's learning to drive. Sometimes I have to do the stop. And then the seatbelt has been useful.
Different scenario. And I've been accident-free in the last few years, I'm pleased to say as well. So essentially, we've driven 100,000 miles between us. We've all worn safety belts, and we haven't needed them. So you could say that they're a waste of time, couldn't you? No, not at all. I'm using heavy irony here. Of course, safety belts are a good idea. And safety planning is something that we should all do when we're well. And stayingsafe.net has got a very good drop-down plan, as you were mentioning, Amy, stayingsafe.net. So we should all do a safety planning for ourselves and have it on our phones when we're well, because what can happen in crisis is that we lose hope, we become emotionally overwhelmed, and we lose perspective. And if you were to be driving along and you hadn't put your safety belt on and you could see an impending accident about to happen, it's a little bit late to fiddle around and try and put it on, isn't it? So that's why we need the safety belt on first. It does fascinate me, actually. There seem to be some models of car that people drive, and particularly coming out of supermarkets, where you're not allowed to put the safety belt in until you're in at least second gear. You know, sometimes you see people driving along and they're obviously in first gear, if not second gear, and they're sort of struggling with it. So there must be some sort of design fault with the car there that stops them putting it in early. Anyway,
the irony is coming out again, Andrew. But I think that's a really
heavy irony there, but we've all seen it, and in fact, some of us may have done it. But anyway, I hope not.
So, isn't it, having that plan for yourself that you use and you set in place, and it becomes automatic and habitual while you're well, so that then there's the backdrop, isn't it, and the safety plan, the safety net, so that when we're not so well, it's there. Yeah, I like that.
And if there are orange buttons around, we will respond to them enthusiastically, because they can help us if we need to, or we hope that they are responded to enthusiastically, because they're just so important.
Yeah, and there is we've got an 8-week social media campaign going on at the minute to try and raise awareness of what the orange button is, because obviously we don't want to just have people walking around wearing orange buttons and nobody knows what they're wearing them for. But partly, I still think that even plays a role, because even if someone says, oh, what's that? Why are you wearing that? That still starts a conversation about suicide, which is, also one of the aims of the scheme. It's just, it's about starting that conversation, the human contact, like you said, Andrew. Suicide is everybody's business. And I think that's what this scheme is all about. We all have a role to play in looking after each other and looking after ourselves.
Yeah, that's so helpful, Amy. So just a last question. It's about how to find the pages online. Is it best for people, if they want to search Orange Button Somerset, or is there another way of finding the information about it?
So the best way is by typing in this address. So it's bit.ly/orangebuttontraining, and that will take you through to the Mind website, where it gives a lot more information about the scheme, the training that is available, and then that's where you can submit your application form to receive your orange button, and once people have sent their application form in, they should receive their button within 2 weeks, although Royal Mail have been causing slight havoc recently, so it might be a little bit longer than 2 weeks.
Wonderful, thank you. It's been really interesting for me to hear about this, and from going from the beginning, not knowing anything about it, to having a much greater idea of what it is, but also the deep benefits I can really see that it brings. So thank you very much. Andrew, one last word from you.
Well, safe driving. Thank you very much, Amy, for coming along. Safe driving, everyone, if you are. Hope you're wearing a safety belt. And perhaps we should all have safety plans as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Good advice. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you for coming. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
You've been listening to the Somerset Emotional Wellbeing Podcast, hosted by Dr. Andrew Tresidder and Dr. Peter Bagshaw. The show was created by David Seeley and was produced by Rob Huns Music on behalf of the Somerset Clinical Commissioning Group.